You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, do these two losses count if half the roster were AHL players? Just asking for a friend. Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and if this team is elite at one thing, it is truly just ruining weekends. Just they, without fail, they're tremendous at it, so kudos to them for that.
I'm Matt Arenick, and I told my roommates that tonight was the mortal lock of the centuries for the Bruins, and unfortunately, I was right.
Yeah, I'm Mike Sawissa, and I'm just tired, to be honest. What an exhausting debacle that was tonight. And JVR just scored, actually, as I said that. So, I mean, that's something. Keep the point streak alive, right?
Did he get one? He already had an assist in the first goal.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, JVR goal aside, and I'm happy he's making a hell of a case to be protected in the expansion draft, but the Flyers were back on the ice this week. They dropped two games, which I guess isn't totally unexpected considering the lineup, but still hurts. We'll do a real quick recap of the Rangers game, because that feels like a thousand lifetimes ago now, and then we'll get into what happened at Lake Tahoe. But before that, a quick word from our sponsors. You guys have heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up front. This week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf. DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all the action. Making a lineup, DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion, Dr. Evil, across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, after all that, let's get into the Rangers game. And like I joked, it does honestly feel like it was a long time ago. We're recording Sunday night, but it feels like that was like a two-week ago game. Obviously they drop it. Not something that you want to see. Overall, though, majority of the game, the Flyers played okay. They weren't as bad as they have been, but still, you'd like to see a win there with a team that is, struggling and on paper, I guess they had a better lineup that night, but overall, the Flyers are a much better team. Let's get your guys' thoughts. Mike, we'll go to you first. What were your thoughts on the Rangers game real quick?
Yeah, it was the weirdest feeling watching that game. It was almost like it didn't feel like it was part of the season. Like, it was just a weird one-off game.
Exhibition game.
Yeah, exhibition preseason game. We have some AHL guys in the lineup. It's a nice little tune-up game. But, first period was pretty decent. Second period was not. I feel like that's been a theme this year. The second period is not having good performances, which is weird because as we know from last year, this team got better and better. That second period was kind of like the turning point period for them. So, I think the big difference in that game is they were let down by their special teams. I understand it's tough when you have like Michael Roffel on your power play unit and all that. But you can't go 0-for-5 against the Rangers, even though the Rangers penalty kill is like shockingly good. I couldn't believe
it's like ninth, I think.
Yeah, it's very good for that.
And that Georgiev, he played really well that game.
He did have a good game. That game could have been 3-0, 4-0.
He had a sneaky good game.
But yeah, I mean, it was good that they battled back and got the point. I thought Couturier, Farabee, JVR, they were all really good. Hart had a good game, which is unfortunately going to foreshadow a conversation we might have later in this episode. But yeah, he was a big reason they got the point. And it is what it is. The Flyers built themselves a nice cushion earlier in the year. And even right before they went on break with COVID, they had some big wins outside of that Bruins series. So they could drop one in overtime or in the shootout. Yeah, that was basically my take. I mean, watching it, though, I did get a bad feeling about Sunday. I don't know. I'm sure we'll touch on it, but go ahead, guys. What about you in terms of that Rangers
game? Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they looked good in the first. I was shocked. I guess it was kind of similar to tonight as well. Like, they came out strong. First goal from NAK crashing the net, and then like Mike mentioned, there was two or three chances that could have easily made it a 3-0 game, and that would have been much appreciated considering the lineup we had on the ice to try to maybe hold a three-goal lead against a somewhat struggling New York Rangers team. Obviously, that didn't happen. Now, good news is, like we mentioned, Hart played well. We were able to steal a point in which you play half a forward lineup. I think any fan base would be happy with that. But like Mike mentioned in my opening, considering we already struggled, granted it was without Kutz so far this season against Boston, it was just one of those things you knew at some point they were just going to blow the game wide open like they did. So not many takeaways. I think that's another theme. We don't want to analyze these games all too much just because we have – a combination of Mark Friedman, Maxim Shushko, and Andy Androv and Sam Moran on the fourth line. I mean, that's just never going to be a line that we're going to play out there under normal circumstances. So glad we got the point, but yeah, you knew tonight was going to be potentially bad for sure.
I'll say this, and we can kind of get into Boston after this, but the thing that had me the most concerned about the Rangers game was that we were still seeing similar themes, even with the stars out. You know, no Giroux, no Jake, no Lotz, I understand. But it's what Mike just touched on, you know, the second period, the same themes are just continuing throughout the season and nothing's changing. And I figured, you know, okay, new faces in the lineup, these guys are going to want to, you know, really bust their hump, especially in the second, you know, continue to build off that strong start from the first, because a lot of that, I'm sure, is jitters for a lot of those guys. They're up at the big club again. You know, a lot of them know these chances rarely come across. So they have all this adrenaline in the first, and then the second, they just flatlined. The special teams, yikes. The power play, again, I understand. No Giroux, no Jake. But just shot generation. I mean, when you don't have your home run hitters, they can throw that, you know, cross-ice pass. Just get the puck on net. That's all you can do. And they weren't even doing that. And they haven't been doing that tonight either. But yeah, that for me, the biggest takeaway from the Rangers is just that I was a little surprised to see that it's still the same thing. You know, same movie, same ending, where we're seeing it over and over again. And as we've progressed through the season, I mean, once the trade deadline's the end of March, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not very far away at this point, so.
It's really rough. This is the last thing I'll say about it, because it kind of leads into tonight's game, I guess, a little bit. But the last thing I'll say on the Rangers game, and kind of what you were just talking about, Joe, how nothing seems to be changing. It's unfortunate because in the five games, there's another Pastrnak goal. In the five games leading up to the pause due to COVID, things were actually starting to get a little different. Like, Yep, there were a couple. There were some blown leads. 100%, I'll say that, against the Bruins and the Islanders, obviously. But like the team was looking better. The team played arguably one of their best games against the Islanders. They played a good game against the Caps right before the pause. Even both the Bruins games were largely very competitive. We talked at length about those games, how the Flyers probably deserved a better fate, but that's hockey. But now you come back and you drop a game to the Rangers and then you get shelled tonight, and it leaves people saying like, oh my God, nothing's changed. This team is still bad. So like, it's that combination of having that layoff, and then plus the first time we see them in a week and a half, they're getting shelled by the Bruins and shelled in the second period by the Rangers. It's like, what all is changing? So that to me is unfortunate. And it sucks even more that now there's potentially, I don't want to say excuses or anything like that, but there's a legit reason. Like, your bottom six, the only legitimate NHL player in there right now is Nolan Patrick, and he's invisible. So, like, you have two defensemen lining up at forward on your fourth line. Like, that's just...
And, Florida and no Panthers league. North, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. We were literally ripping on them for that this last year. So, that's kind of, like I said, that's where I leave it at the Rangers game, and that's where I pick up tonight. It's just tiring. It's a tiring... The team's tiring to watch. The storylines are all tiring coming out of the media and coming out of the fan base. Like, it's there's a lot of Flyers fatigue wearing on my body right now.
No, I agree. I think it's a good kind of segue to get us into Boston. You know, obviously, we knew going to Boston this game was not going to be a great one to watch, because we knew we didn't have G or Jake or any of the heavy hitters. They're all still on that COVID list. So, I don't know what to expect. I didn't expect anything great, but I didn't expect this again, to be shelled again. I mean, it's ironic that we're the bullies, and yet we've been constantly getting just bullied by this Bruins team all year. I'll go to you guys first. Obviously, do you want to do Hart first, or you want to get that out of the way, or do you want to do that last?
Let's get that out of the way, I think, first and foremost.
All right. Okay. I'll go first with Hart. I am not happy. I'm not going to defend him. I think he had a very bad game tonight. However, big disclaimer, I still have 100% faith that he's still going to be a franchise goaltender, and I'm not worried about it. I just think that he didn't have it tonight. And goaltender, we talked about this a little bit, but being a goaltender, you play a magnified position, and every mistake you make very well ends up in the back of the net. And were all six goals tonight his fault? No, but, I mean, two 100% are, if you ask me. I know you guys seem to differ on that, but it's very hard to evaluate a goalie when the team in front of him is without their main play drivers, without, you know, their main goal threat. And, well, I guess, I mean, JVR is actually on the ice, so that is their main goal threat. But still, a lot of star power that's not there, and the defense that's been a problem all year. So I'm not going to bang on him too much for tonight. I just wish he would have played better. Whoever wants to go first, you guys can go. But that's my stance on Carter.
You want me to go, Mike?
Yeah, because I feel like I'm going to be the middle mediator between you two. I feel like we do that a pretty nice job on this podcast. Like, one of us will take a stance on one end, the other will take the other, and then another one finds the middle ground between. We do that. I think we rotate through that.
So should we launch our own like law firm? We just do mediations?
No,
just
we should for each, divorce we couples? Should each launch our own podcast. We should disband like and, that. Yeah,
the single prisons.
Yeah, I don't think it would be as big a hit. No offense to
not
to
as lucrative. No.
Definitely not. No, I mean, so it's hard for me to touch on the Rangers game as much, just because I wasn't able to watch the second and third period. So I'll take Mike's word that Carter has played well, or he played well in that game.
Yeah, he was good. Other than that rebound, which I'm sure, you know, it's a rebound. It's not, you know, wasn't an A1 chance. He'd won it back a little better, sure, but it's not the end of the world. He played well.
And it's also one of those things, sorry, real quick, when a goalie kicks out a rebound, they're rarely ever doing it just to be careless about it. Like, he probably kicked it out thinking that he had a defenseman or a forward back there to clear it out, but he didn't, and it was a juicy rebound. So,
and a good play by Panarin.
Great play by Panarin. So, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I think what's been annoying is just it's not one person. It's, I see it all over, people talking about how he hasn't played well, which as a whole, I would tend to agree. Now, there's underlying drivers to that. First, as we already mentioned, special teams. Our penalty kill is, maybe after this game, might be dead last in the NHL. So obviously that's not going to help your statistic. It's not going to help your goals against, your save percent average, especially considering I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I feel as though we've been, compared to last year, largely undisciplined this year.
It feels like that.
It feels like that. I don't know if the stats back it up. Maybe someone can call me out for that as well. But it annoys me because the common theme this entire season has just been how much we've struggled in the defensive zone. We're probably near the bottom in shots generated and near the top in terms of shots allowed a game. Now, again, it all depends on if they're high danger, yada, yada. But when we continuously watch our team struggle to break out of the zone, prime example tonight was the Coil goal. This is kind of where we disagree. I agree that, yes, that's a 50-50 shot. He, out of this franchise goaltender, you want that stop. But at that point in the game, we've been dominated the entire second period. Robert Haig fumbles a pass in the neutral zone and then falls down, leading to Charlie Coil skating pretty much through the slot with, I would say, a undefended chance against. And like you mentioned, there's no screen in front, mano a mano. You'd like to see him have that save. I'll give that a 50-50. The same thing goes for the second goal against. He's looking around his screen, trying to see where McAvoy is taking the shot from the point or if it's even coming. And then he guessed the wrong direction. He was out of position and went through his arm. That's another goal probably you would like to have back. It's not 100% on him, but bad position. The only goal, now granted we've only watched the first two periods, that I can say is on him was the Trent Frederick. It was lofted on net, just I guess he missed it, right? And then the last goal, the sixth goal that we saw, was a deflection on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, and at a certain point, just like any player, if you play the game, if you're down, being dominated, you're down 4-2, 5-2, it's one of those things where it's a snowball effect, and you, whether people like to admit it or not, it's kind of just like you're going to let bad ones in when you're getting dominated all game long. Not saying he played great this year, but if you're not going to say that the majority of the reason that his stats look the way they do is because of bad special teams and a bad team defense in front of him, then we just strongly disagree, I guess.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. Were you
gonna... No. Go ahead.
Right, no, I think the way I fall on this is, so I'm just going to preface this. I like to say that I play goal. Now, my experience playing hockey was not on the ice. It was on the roller court, which is more than some people have played.
The Holy and which Rollers, is, baby.
And, yeah, the Holy Rollers. And which is less than a lot of other people have played. Having played the game or having not played the game does not factor into your expertise on how to view the game, on how to, maybe on how to understand the mechanics of the game. Sure, I'll buy that. But I think you can still be an extremely astute, have an extremely astute ability to analyze the game, whatever. So I'm not. That's not where I'm going with this. My point is, when Carter Hart or when any goalie lets in a goal, there will be a part of me that'll go, you know, that's not their fault or not on them. Or if it's one that I really feel like genuinely is on them, I'll get a little twinge, like, that one didn't sit right with me. There was a couple tonight that didn't sit right with me with Hart. Do I think, though, that means it's 100% on him? No, not at all. I think there was one goal, I agree with Matt, one goal that was 100% on him. It was the Frederick goal. The Coil goal, would have loved to have that. Sure, pretty weak. But was it 100% on him? No, not given what happened leading up to the play. The McAvoy one, could he have had it? Yeah, potentially. It went through his arm. But did he see the play? No, not at all. When a goalie can't see, it's tough to make the save. So that's kind of where I fall on tonight. Was Hart a reason they lost the game? No, but he definitely didn't do anything to help them win, necessarily. He was a negative tonight. But on the season in general, like, that's where I don't really understand where this narrative is coming from, because I look at Hart's body of work and I think he was bad against the Sabres, that first Sabres game earlier in the year. But again, the whole team was bad right from the get. I think he was bad against that, or in that win against the Caps, the 7-4 win. I don't think he had a good game, but the team won, so whatever. And, like, along the way, has he let in some goals that I'll be like, maybe could have had that? Sure. But when the team's letting up, like, 4 goals to Boston, 5 goals to Boston, do I come away from those games being like, wow, Carter Hart is the reason they lost this game? No, not at all. When they win the games, though, am I like, is he a huge reason why this team would manage to pull this out? Absolutely, because this team gets outshot every night. So it's just frustrating for me to see this fan base, like, already, because he's not playing at the level that he was in the playoffs, which is unsustainable for any player. Like,
and two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the biggest issue I have is, I'm not saying he's been playing unbelievable, but the idea that we're willing to brush, like, you have to look at what causes it. If the team's playing very well in front of him and he's just letting in soft goals, completely different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played up to what we would have liked, but in my opinion, the biggest driver to that is, again, special teams and the defense in front of him.
Yeah, we're seeing people argue that Brian Elliott should now take the starting crease for this team moving forward. And it's like, if you're arguing that, like,
after Elliott just had a sub-900 save percent average season, yeah, the year before.
Like, Elliott's played some good games this season, but, like, Brian Elliott is not, he just can't physically do what Carter Hart can do. And, like, I saw tonight, people were saying that Carter Hart's been exposed, his glove hand has been exposed. I guarantee if you looked at across the league, across all time in the NHL, the glove side is where goalies get beaten the most, because that's where most players put their shots. Like, it's just going, it's just a law of averages. Like, it's not, it just blows my mind. I don't know. It's very frustrating to me. Carter Hart's going to be fine. He'll probably be fine within this year. Like, he'll probably get back to the level that he was at last year. And people will still find a reason to say that he's bad when he has a one bad game every now and then. Like, that's just, I'm afraid. To me, that's what I'm tired of. I'm already afraid and tired that we're getting to the point where Carter Hart can let in one bad goal and that's it. Like, he could make 49 saves out of 50 and he lets in a bad goal and the team loses, and it's, oh, well, Carter Hart sucks. Like, I genuinely think Philadelphians are able to trend to that negative that quickly, so.
The Wentz effect, Joe.
Yeah. Oh God, maybe we'll touch on that the next pod. We'll do a little Wentz talk.
I'm so sad.
I honestly I don't have anyone to talk to. Obviously, I live alone, so like I don't have anyone to talk to about
it's
it.
So sad.
So unless I like stare in the mirror and like hash out like everything that I'm going on, like I went on like a mini Twitter rant about it, and that felt pretty good. But I'll just say this about Carter. Like I said, I'm not worried about it long term. I think if you asked him, he himself would tell you that he has not played very well this year. But again, just from a pure evaluation standpoint, the team in front of him has been very bad. So I don't know how much to say it's on him and how much is on the team. I lean most of it is on the team because he was a very good goaltender last year. I will say this, the point of that where I just leave you guys is the Coyle goal. I understand it's a turnover, but he's walking in. There's no obstruction at all. That's a save. You have to make that save. There's no other. Oh well, John, that's unlucky. No,
I'm actually with you on that one. I should have prefaced that. Like this whole time, I've agreed that goal is also.
And by the way,
you should never be beat short side. I agree. No. But again, yeah. It's the same
thing.
It's
only 3-2 at that point. It's only 3-2. Yeah. You make that save, it stays 3-2.
You need the save there, but it's
for that moment at least.
I don't know if it stays 3-2.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole different argument.
But you have to make that save. Yeah. I'm sorry. You do. You have to make it.
Similar, I'm not worried. Go ahead. Yes. No, similar to like a ghost comparison, right? Is like hockey is a sport, in my opinion, that's largely confidence-based, where if – I think a good example of that is like the year that Ghost was 65-point player, like we haven't seen that same player, and that's not because he can't do it, but I think that's confidence in the decisions he's making in the moment. And the same thing happens with a goalie. When a goalie like Hart was in the playoffs was so sound throughout the entire playoffs, it's just kind of like it becomes repetitive. It's – He knows what he's doing before he's going to do it. He's not second-guessing himself, and that may be part of it. We don't know because we're not in his mind. But when you're being shelled on an every other game basis so far this season, you're giving up five, you're giving up six, and the team in front of you like can't even break the puck out. And again, just my opinion, but I think it's starting to weigh on him that the team in front of him has been playing so poorly, and that's leading to some bad goal against. Now, doesn't mean that he shouldn't make big timely saves. We're kind of missing that, obviously, and we're going to need that from him this, moving forward in the rest of the season if we want to make the playoffs, because as we've mentioned this entire year, I mean, we are lucky to start the way we have, and this stretch is not going to help.
No. We'll see. I think it's good enough for Carter. The three of us all agree that, you know, tonight was not his best night, but there's still plenty of games left to play and plenty of time for him to right his ship, because goaltending is such a solitary position that, you know, it's a lot of emphasis just on one man, and one man will not win or lose you a game a lot of nights. But I have confidence he'll figure it out.
It sucks that basically all goalie stats are team centric too, or like a lot, I mean, like save percentage not necessarily, but like a lot of goalies play is team centric. So like you look at another player and you're like, oh man, they only have 3 points this year and they're, you know, minus whatever, and their Corsi is this, like they're having a rough year. Like you look at a goalie and you see the sub 900 save percentage and you're like, wow, Carter Hart sucks, Mackenzie Blackwood is a better goalie. Like, I mean, you're just not, you're just being disingenuous, because if you're going to make all the excuses for Mackenzie Blackwood playing, no, I'm going on a tangent here. So I'm already tired of hearing that. But yeah.
Another argument we can get ourselves into.
Let's leave that be. Let's talk about some positives, though. Kutz's return, he continues to impress.
He's just the real deal.
He is. He's true.
Some
he's
big hits tonight, too. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. He's so strong.
He took that hit up high, and then he just sauced that puck to Farabee. That's a great transition to get into. To young Beezer, that guy, man, young kid is impressing me. 8 goals, he's already matched his season high total from last year.
That's crazy.
Unreal.
I'm very happy to see his game. He just seems to always kind of be in the right spot. And he's got a great shot, too. So
very Justin Williams like in that way.
Very Justin Williams. I think I heard that comp. Maybe you told it to me, Mike, but there was a comp going out there that people were saying he's a lot like Justin Williams. But I think Kutz's look great. Farabee's look good. I think we can all agree the vets have, for the most part, all been pretty good.
JVR,
that's another one, apparently.
JVR continues to...
3.9 for JVR.
Continues to just say no to the rental property in Seattle that awaits him. He keeps saying, I'm good in Philly. Don't need it. But what are some other kind of either standouts or kind of, I don't want to say letdowns, but anything else you guys have noticed, either positive or negative with some of the players?
I was wanting more.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I think you're going to say it. So go ahead.
I wanted more from Nolan Patrick, these last two games. I mean, it's tough to make it happen on your own when you're not given the line mates to work with. I get that, but he, against the Rangers, he was a mess. I think he was one of the few players, besides the AHL guys, that just looked out of place. He couldn't do anything on the power play. He was fumbling the puck. Tonight, he was all perimeter all the time. I still am going to be hopeful on Nolan Patrick. I think that he can be a fine NHL player. I think he'll be all right. But it's just not working right now, which is unfortunate, because it was working for him in the beginning of the year a little bit. He had some speed, some drive to the net. He was being creative. So that's unfortunate. I wrote about that in my first or second Broad Street Buzz piece, that like the Flyers needed a lot from Nolan Patrick. If Drew and Voracek and TK, et cetera, are going to be out, and they just didn't get it in these last two games. So compared to the Bruins, who got a whole bunch out of their third line center tonight. So
yeah, and like you said, it's kind of weird because he started so strong. I would think it would have probably been the other way around. He would have been more apprehensive just from the physical side of things to start the season, because he hadn't played a game in so long, but he was flying, it felt like. And again, like you mentioned, the line mates is obviously a big part of that, but that doesn't prevent you from playing the game with speed the same way you did to start the season. I don't know if that's I don't want to make the excuse, because Kutz was flying out there, so it's not a COVID-related kind of just layoff issue. he just, first second overall pick, you just expect more. And again, I know it's a small sample size to start the season, and I still have hope that he's going to turn into a good player for us. But yeah, like you mentioned, if we want points out of these games without the big boys, then he's got to show up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's maybe he's just, you know, it's a game shape thing, and maybe he's just, I don't know, fatigued. I mean, how long had it really been since he played a full season of hockey? Was it
calendar
two,
year, right?
One calendar year or two? It's been a long time since he's played stretches of hockey.
I guess it would have been one and a half almost by the time they started, give or take. Okay. Cut the difference.
A long time since he's played long stretches of hockey. So maybe that's something to do with it. But at the same time, like, I don't know, this season's been so cut into bunches. They've played a lot of games and they've had a long time off, and he still hasn't looked great. So I don't know.
I think it's a similar theme to everything else. Like you say, Joe, is like Mike mentioned, he's playing in the perimeter. You're not going to get good chances, and he has the skill. He has the shot.
I for the life of me, I don't understand how they don't have this team shoot the puck more. I just, it's mind.
AV mentioned it too. So I don't, at this point, it seems to be more of an execution.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand it. And I'll say this, we've definitely been spoiled as NHL fans with like top five picks over the last, I would say probably like 7-8 years, like almost all of them are immediately playing now. And that didn't used to, historically, that wasn't the case.
I said that on the Bruins and Bruins podcast. I was like, Connor McDavid ruined young players for everybody, because like, it's just not fair. Like,
it's all sports now though, for the most part. Like, it's all sports now where you're just, you're younger, you're specializing earlier, you're getting more reps in, so you're going to be better. And so I think that's another big thing with Patrick, is that he was a second overall pick. Like Matt said, we all expected, you know, a lot more from him, and rightly so. I mean, you're the second overall pick. You know, you have these tangible assets, this skill set, just not really producing. So I did want to ask you guys before we kind of end it. I don't know if you guys saw, but apparently Nashville is getting ready to deal, because they've just been horrible. Matthias Ekholm, I would love for the Flyers to land
a
Matthias.
Very, now, very bullish on a Matthias Ekholm.
Hey, now, I know. Hagen a third, yeah. I saw, I don't know if it was LeBron that wrote it or if it was Burnside, but it was on The Athletic, and he had the Flyers as like his last team that could be interested. He mentioned like maybe Gostisbehere, a change of scenery, and like obviously a draft pick. I would not be upset with that at all. Now that it gets into, you know, his contract's 3.75 for this year and next, so obviously not a big hit, but you then have to worry about the expansion draft and all that kind of stuff. I was just kind of curious. I mean, Mike, you said you're bullish on him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that's been on the plus side of 50 for every single season for the past 7 seasons in a row at 50 or more Corsi 4 percentage.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. Considering this year he's...
He's got some sandpaper to him as well, which I like.
He's 6'4". Yeah, he's a
big boy. Thick boy. This year, he's a 52.2 on that terrible Nashville team, and his PDO is at 97.7. So that means he's getting none of the luck and still doing it all.
You can calculate luck?
Like, that's PDO, basically. PDO.
I didn't know you could calculate luck. That's new to me. I thought that was incalculable. I guess not.
But even beyond that, like, he's... You know, he's not going to get you in the way of a lot of points, but he was 10 goals in 2017-18, 8 goals in 2018-19, 8 goals in 68 games last year, so he was going to hit double digits again. You're looking at 35 to 44-ish points, 45 points for him. This year it's taking a hit because that Nashville team is atrocious, but 20-plus minutes, I mean, he played 23 minutes four straight seasons, like his four most recent seasons, like... If you get Matthias Ekholm, you could plug him on the top pair with Ivan Provorov immediately and then push everybody else down, or you could use him on the second pair and you've got two great, you know, two really solid top two pairs. So I really like Matthias Ekholm. I mean, I don't see I don't see how this doesn't just completely solve the need of what this team.
And it also makes sense, too, because even from Seattle's standpoint, if he's going to essentially be a free agent after 1 year of being with the team, unless they're a Vegas 2.0, which is probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Then he's going to have his choice of where he wants to be. Is he going to want to be in Seattle? Maybe. I guess it's an okay city, but I doubt he's going to want to spend kind of the latter part of his years with a team that's kind of building a franchise as opposed to being with a contender, especially considering he's been in some playoff games. So definitely a name to watch out for, but I think the theme there is just Chuck. The team needs something.
Yeah. I mean...
Even when national writers are starting to take note,
it's
one thing when it's just the three of us old men yelling at Cloud, but like if Pierre LeBrun is like, "Hey, Flyers are struggling on defense," this guy might be an answer.
Well,
you know it's being brought up.
It's nutty too because like even with all the struggles they've had this year, like I want to make sure I get this right because I kind of blew my mind or it blew my mind yesterday when I saw So even all the struggles this team's had, they have two games in hand on the Montreal Canadiens, and they're only one win behind them in terms of points. We've been at length on this pod about how we think the Canadiens have been the best team in the league this year, and the Flyers, given all their struggles through the season, are right there with some of the best teams in the league. They're still only, like, they have a game in hand on the Bruins, they're 5 points behind them. They have two games in hand on the Caps, they're 2 points behind them. Two games in hand on the Islanders and they're even with them, like the team is still right there. Like it seems like this could go from, you know, below average and not good to pretty good and pretty fun really quick if we just got a couple slight tweaks. Bring in Matthias Ekholm, however you want to say it, and maybe shop around for like a middle six or bottom six winger or something like that. Like that seems like it's it right there. So I that's why I'm not ready to fold on this team or on these players, this core, Carter Hart, etc., because the team is just right there. Like, and I know I mean that, I don't mean that in terms of all nice results, I mean in terms of in standings and the talent on the team, and we know what the issues are. So I don't, it's frustrating.
I would love to see them make a move. This is a Tampa Bay level kind of move to me. Because if you think back, like when that team was like good, but they were kind of missing, you know, just parts here and there. They go and they get a Ryan McDonagh. They go and they get an Anton Stroman. You know, they started picking really good players just kind of quietly and really building it. And then finally, they're able to break the door down. So this is a high level move that. I don't see the Flyers.
Swing for the fences. They said Forsberg's available too. Go for Ekholm and Forsberg.
Where's Holmgren? Is he still in the building? He's got to have a phone. Well, actually, well, doesn't what's it? I'm trying to think.
David Poile hates us.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But I mean, listen.
New GM though, so maybe new relationship. Who knows?
Hey, you know, at the end of the day, man, business is business. I've done business with people who, you know. Who have not been a big fan of me in the beginning, and you know it just necessitates that you have to work with me at some point. So if you can put childish feelings aside,
Calgary is another.
We talked about Calgary a couple weeks ago.
Two options.
I like your point a lot, though, Matt. That hey, he's going to be a free agent at the coming up anyway. So do you want to take a flyer on him and then he leaves you for a contender because he's getting up there? But no, that's pretty much it. Well, any last thoughts, boys, before we wrap it up?
I want the rest of the team to come back.
That'd be nice. Yes,
they can't come back like soon this. Enough.
Yeah.
And we got Rangers on Wednesday and then the Sabres on Saturday. I'm telling you right now, first Saturday matinee game, thank God. I was about to say, if it's a 7 o'clock start on Saturday night, I'm not watching it. But it's 1 o'clock, so I will watch. But yeah,
I will not be watching. I'll be studying. So you guys are going to have to give me some updates on that one.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. Tune in, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday with a recap of the Rangers game. Hopefully, we get some of those guys back. Fingers crossed. But everyone, hope you guys have a great week. For Matt, for Mike, have a great day.